In today's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to look at some of the best examples of living by faith as we go through Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're continuing in our series called Hebrews, Partners with Christ, and we're blessed to have the author of a book by the same name in the studio with us, Dr. Ken Yates. Let's jump to the Grace in Focus studios for today's discussion.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And we're with Ken Yates, and we're exploring the book of Hebrews. It was not only written to a Jewish Christian community, but it's the type of book that is just soaked in the Old Testament. And that's, you know, chapter 11 is just another example of just the Old Testament imagery of this book. Most people don't know this, but in chapter 11, the author kind of gives us a walk through the book of Genesis, all the examples of faith in the book of Genesis.
Yes, the first 16 verses takes us from creation through the flood all the way through Abraham. And he's going to continue going through the Old Testament in the rest of the chapter. But I think there's a couple points that need to be made right from the very beginning. As we have seen throughout the book of Hebrews, the author is not telling people how to go to heaven. The people that he is addressing here were already God's people. And the point of all these men and women, because he's going to talk about some women as well in this chapter, is that they lived their lives based upon what God had promised them. He had made promises to them, and they took God at his word, and that is how they lived their lives.
Well, verse 1 gets us started. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You guys tell me what you think of this. I read Gordon H. Clark. He was a Christian philosopher, and he believed that a definition of faith was persuasion that a proposition is true. And we would agree with that. When someone pointed out this verse to him, he said, "This is not a definition of faith." This is kind of like saying if someone said roast beef is nutritious, that's not a definition of what roast beef is. And so what does this verse mean? Is this a definition of faith or something else?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Zane Hodges said the same thing. I remember talking to him about Hebrews 11:1, and he said, that's not a definition of faith. Now, I don't remember how he explained it. Your roast beef idea is a good one.
I think one thing is clear, that the faith that he's talking about here is not being convinced, for example, that one receives eternal life by believing in God's promise. The thing that the author of Hebrews is talking about here is the substance of things hoped for. It is the promises of God that he has given us. Do we live our lives in light of that or not? And it is the assurance of things not seen. Because when we're talking about reigning with Christ, I am living my life in light of things that I cannot see. I've never seen the kingdom of God, and I've certainly never seen the cities that Christ has promised to reign over for those who are faithful to him. This is all about Christian living, and the author of Hebrews is exhorting his readers to live in light of these realities that Christ has promised that none of us have never seen. The faithful believer is investing in a stock market, if you will, in the coming kingdom, and he's never seen that, and that takes faith.
And verse 2 kind of brings that out, doesn't it?
Right. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony."
All these men and women in chapter 11, the testimony they received was it involves God's approval. And the reason it's important is because the author concludes the chapter with this same idea, that they have received a good testimony from God. We would say God's approval because of the way they lived their lives. They believed in what God promised them, even though they weren't able to see it. And even though some of the things that God promised just boggled the mind, but yet they took God at his word.
That's what we all want, right? Every believer is called to have this approval, this good testimony.
Yes.
Not all of us will.
That's exactly what the book of Hebrews is saying. Yes.
Okay, now we've got about, let's see, we're doing creation, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah in the remaining time. So, Ken, you got your work cut out for you. Sean?
Verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So that sounds like it's creation out of nothing, and that's Genesis 1 and 2.
And how great this follows what he just said, believing in what you have not seen. None of us saw the creation of the world. None of us are that old. but yet we believe it. Why do we believe that God created the world like Genesis 1 and 2 says? We don't see it. We take God at his word.
Right.
And we can see how that relates to believing in things you don't see. And also, the author of Hebrews is talking about a world to come that we have never seen. Mm-hmm. Well, how do I know that this kingdom is coming? Well, because God's word says it, and Christ has promised it.
Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So that's Genesis 4.
So we see the first man of faith here, and just one thing I would point out in the context of Hebrews here, even though Abel died being faithful to the Lord, he still speaks. Even death does not end the life of the faithful believer, the things that he does. Abel's testimony remains. And certainly as these readers were going through persecution, they could take heart in that no matter what happens, faithfulness to the Lord lives on.
Right, because Abel didn't die by accident. He was murdered.
Right, for murdered his righteousness.
His
yeah, because he did what the Lord wanted him to do.
And by the way, when it says, for he was righteous, that's not saying he was born again and his brother wasn't.
Right.
He was actually righteous in his behavior because the Lord had favor toward both him and toward his animal sacrifice. So he was a righteous man, but also he offered the right kind of sacrifice.
Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him, for before he was taken he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Genesis 5.
Genesis right. 5.
22 to 24.
And here we have one who did not even see death. Perhaps we should say that he is a illustration of the rapture.
Yes.
So whether you die by being faithful to the Lord or whether you are raptured, your life gains God's approval.
Now, here's a verse that really emphasizes the importance of faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you can't please God unless you believe in eternal rewards and you're going after them.
Yes, it pleases God when he promises to reward his children, and his children take him at his word and act upon that. We should diligently seek the rewards that God is giving, has offered to his children. And in the book of Hebrews, that is being a co-reigner with Christ.
Great. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay, What kind of righteousness is that?
There's a lot in this verse. We see the word heir that we've been talking about and inheritance. And we also see that Noah was dealing with a world that he was going to inherit that he had never seen before. And many have pointed out that he had never seen a flood and he probably never even seen rain. But he took God at his word. And the righteousness here, I believe, is what Bob was talking about earlier. It's not the righteousness that we get in justification by faith, but a righteous living. Those who live this way will become heirs of a new world like Noah did. He inherited a new world. And that fits perfectly with the book of Hebrews.
A new world with only 8 people starting out.
Yes, and notice also the salvation here, as we've seen, the salvation of his household. That is not salvation from hell, but the salvation of their lives, as we talked about in the previous episode. So there's a lot in these verses that apply to the book of Hebrews.
So when he said, I've got to challenge you guys. I got to ask this question because I know people listening.
Okay.
And ask these questions. Righteousness, which is according to faith. If this is Paul or Barnabas, how could they mean anything other than justification by faith apart from works?
Well, it seems to me in all of chapter 11, if we're living by faith, then we're living righteously. And it is true that we're justified by faith apart from works. But
made righteous by faith, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it seems like chapter 11 is all looking at experience. It's all looking at experiential righteousness.
Yes, I think that's pretty clear.
Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. There we go, inheritance again. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, there's that word again, with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
The New Jerusalem.
How great is this in light of the book of Hebrews, that here is a man who God told him, there's a land that you've never seen, but go to it and you'll inherit it forever. And he lived in tents as a stranger in this land. And obviously in the background of Hebrews with the original readers, they were very much vagabonds, if you will, being persecuted by the world. But yet God was telling them there is a world coming that they have not seen, that they would inherit like Abraham inherited the promised land.
The author also gives, I hate to just pass her over, the author also gives the example of Sarah, but let's skip down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
All of these people did not receive the promise of the inheritance in a world in the world to come, but yet they lived their lives in light of these things, and they spent their times on earth in anticipation for being rewarded by God for their faithfulness.
And we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth too.
And so what are we living towards? Like them, aren't we're still looking like Abraham for that city built by God.
Verse 14, they're seeking a homeland. They're looking for a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so the whole point of Hebrews 11, 1 through 16, is there are many examples in the first 12 chapters of Genesis of people who live by faith. God promised them things, and they obeyed God, and God is going to richly reward them. The same is true in the 21st century. If we believe God and live by faith, then one day we will be partners with Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Bob, Dr. Ken, and Sean, for that great discussion about those examples of living by faith. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All financial gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because that's how we stay on the air. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner, you can do that also at faithalone.org. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. Well, we've made it to another Friday, and I'm looking forward to the weekend. I hope you are too. We'll be back here on Monday to continue in our series on Hebrews. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.